The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Here, welcome in on middle of the week. A lot to do here today, and we begin with where we left off yesterday, the swirling controversy in Tuscaloosa, where quite a bit has happened since we last left you. Nate Oates, the head coach at Alabama, the number two team in the country, has clarified his statements from yesterday's news conference. If you have not seen or heard, this is what he said. I thought it was important for me to clarify the unfortunate remarks I made earlier. This entire time, I've tried to be thoughtful in my words relative to this tragic incident, and my statements came across poorly. We were informed by law enforcement of other student athletes being in the vicinity, and law enforcement has repeatedly told us that no other student athletes were suspects. They were witnesses only. Our understanding is that they have all been fully truthful and cooperative. In no way did I intend to downplay the seriousness of the situation or the tragedy of that night. My prayers continue to go out to Jamea Harris's family. Meanwhile, not everyone buying what Coach Oates is selling. Dan Wetzel headline here in Yahoo. Alabama's Brandon Miller could have stopped a tragedy. He didn't. Dan Wetzel, one of the most respected award-winning columnists in the country, joining us. Dan, thanks for the time. Always good to have you, even though this is a rather incredible event to be talking about. Good afternoon, and give us your thoughts on what we have learned over these past 24 hours from Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. That clarification, is interesting. When I first heard those Nate Oates comments, I was really stunned at them. I was waiting for more information. And my guess, I try to give people the benefit of the doubt. I'm just not going to assume that Nate Oates is the worst person or doesn't care or is callous, right? My assumption was that he wasn't fully aware of Brandon Miller's involvement. Maybe he thought, I knew there was a guy in the vicinity and that's the wrong place at the wrong time kind of quote that he had given. But he didn't know, hey, he had driven back with the weapon in his car, or he had been summoned there, or all the other stuff the police allege. The clarification still leaves that open, but I'm still surprised he didn't come out and say that. I'm still surprised, did he know everything that was testified by the detective yesterday, and did he still know all that and say, yeah, this kid doesn't deserve any punishment, there's no suspension, there's no problems, it's no big deal, it's just an unfortunate situation? And that's the part that I'm still not clear on. And maybe we'll get that clarification tonight, because to me it's a big distinction between those things. This was a tragedy bringing someone a weapon in the middle of a dispute. You know they were at a bar. This could have been a worse tragedy. It was bad enough, so horrible enough for the family, but at least 11 shots rang out in the strip in Tuscaloosa, which I think you and everybody certainly in Alabama knows is, a very popular area with, college kids and bars and diners and everything else. Like, who knows who else could have been caught in the crossfire? We've had enough shootings and stuff. I'm still just a little puzzled by what exactly Nate Oates knew when he made those statements yesterday, or made the decision that, hey, no big deal, Brandon didn't do anything, unless he's charged with a felony or something here, we don't really care. Because that's the question I have, and it's unanswered.
Yeah, Dan, I can't answer it. I can tell you what I think, though, and what I think is that he knew everything yesterday, and he's known it for some time. I think he as much as said that. He's known it for for almost for 5 weeks. And I think it raises a lot of serious questions, not so much from a legal standpoint. I think that's a big hill to climb, and I know a lot of people, colleagues of ours, are groveling. The players should be indicted. Oates should be put out to pasture. I mean, those are strong comments to make. But the question I really want to ask you, and assuming that, and I'm going to ask you to assume something, because I'm assuming that Nate Oates knew all this 5 weeks ago. What should he have done if he knew that his player not only was involved in the transportation of the gun to a murder scene, but it's possible that the car that he brought back there was blocking the possible escape of the other party involved?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's exactly what the police have testified, allegedly, that, and I understand that it's a thin little street. It's a side street next to the CVS, and you know, but yeah, the involvement of Brandon Miller is far more. I mean, his windshield was hit twice with bullets. And the shooting was, you know, far more dramatic. And I agree with you. Look, I'm not a prosecutor. I'm not going to second guess the prosecutors of up in Tuscaloosa or anywhere else. That's their decision. They have very, very hard jobs to do. So whether somebody thinks, hey, you know, they should throw the book at this guy, I don't know. It's hard. I've covered enough trials to know how difficult that job is. So I don't know. What should he have done? He could be more transparent. You know, I don't know that it's like, hey, you have to sit two games and that changes things. I don't know if it's being more direct about it. I would like to know what he thought he should do. I'm not a basketball coach either, and it's not my job to dish out the punishment or dish out the reaction, but I know that just saying nothing and acting like nothing's wrong and putting this guy out there is just off-putting. And there's obviously going to be Alabama fans or a very sympathetic view of Nate Oates. And again, I think I'm taking a pretty open-minded view that maybe he did. He said he knew everything and nothing happened. So, but, you know, the coaches will always say, look, I'm going to take your son's going to come play for me and I'm going to treat him like a son. And he's going to be part of our family and things like that. If one of my children came back and those were the facts of the situation, I ferried the weapon over. I didn't de-escalate. I didn't just ignore the text. I didn't try to get anyone out of there. My car might have been blocking a way out. The police are saying this and alleging that. I'm not just going to shrug my shoulders when I find those facts out, even if they're not going to getting arrested, and just go, hey, no big deal, go about your day. You know, was there counseling? Was there discussion? Was there anything else? If he knew all those things. And so that's the kind of stuff I'd want to know is what is his response? What was Alabama's response? Not necessarily what I would have done.
And Dan, let me broaden it a little bit. While all this was going on, Nate Oates' boss, Greg Byrne, the athletic director, was in the process of finishing the terms of a contract extension, healthy raise, and sending it off to the president and the board of trustees, which they later approved. So you have to wonder, where was the university in this? Greg Byrne, the athletic director, who has been stone silent on this since the story broke yesterday, went with the team 2 days later to Nashville. So he spent a lot of time with Nate Oates, plenty of time to discuss anything and everything that could have gone on. And what's also interesting is that this story went away. I mean, there's reason to believe the university did what it could with whatever limitations it has to move on, not to have this come up in subsequent conversation. So I ask you, beyond Nate Oates, who, he's a basketball coach. He's trying to get his team in the tournament and win the national championship. What about Greg Byrne, the athletic director of the, and the university itself?
Yeah, I'd want to know what did Greg Byrne know? What did the president of the school know? I mean, look, if my star player is involved in these facts, you would take it up the flagpole. I mean, this is a serious thing, and yes, he hasn't been charged, and that's the decision of the local prosecutor. But if you know these facts, you would have to be worried that he might get charged. I mean, this is at least a judgment call, right? So in the 2 days after the 2 days later, they're playing a game. A prosecutor would not have necessarily made that decision in 48 hours. Or if they did, you'd want to know that. Again, I just the lack of a statement, the lack that's coming out, and I don't know why that is puzzling to me. You know, Paul, like I did done a lot of radio shows, done talked to a lot of people today, and you know, down at Alabama, all they care about is winning. Oh, down at Alabama, they don't care. No, there's really smart people working at that university in that athletic department, in the administration at the whole school, the alums. Not every single person's like, we don't care what this kid did as long as we can win a national title. But the longer it goes with literally no comment, no discipline, and nothing, the more that perception gets built in. And maybe Alabama doesn't care about that perception, or maybe it does, but perception can become reality. And I just think there's a lot to be said between now and 9 o'clock tonight. Is he going to play? Why? What did we know? Why did we make this decision? Is it a matter of we didn't have all the facts? Because, look, you could certainly understand if a university says there's been a murder, one of our players is involved, we're going to let the police handle it, we're not going to do our own investigation because it could look like we're interfering, right? And that would be a reasonable thing. But maybe that should be something that should come out and say, look, this is how it went down. And I'm waiting for that, but the clock keeps ticking, and we're past 24 hours of it. You just say, this is a really confusing situation because this wasn't just nothing. And, you know, that decision to go over there escalated a fight. It was a terrible, terrible decision to drive over there with.
And Dan, before we leave it, we're heading to Columbia, South Carolina a little bit later where the game is tonight. And maybe we'll learn a little bit more about if anything has changed. But broadening this, I mean, the story is still in its embryonic stages, the second part of the story. Obviously, the first part was 5 weeks ago, the worst part. But as we head toward March and more eyes are on college basketball than they are today, and Alabama advances, you're at the vanguard of the national media. I know I'm asking you to speculate on what everyone else is going to think or say, but how big could this story get, and how difficult could it get for the University of Alabama and Nate Oates, and of course the player here?
I mean, look, right or wrong, fair or not, if Alabama's in a Final Four, it is the story. I mean, it just is. There's, you know, unless there is more explanation that we don't have, it is the story. You have basically a guy who could easily be named National Player of the Year for a team that easily could win the national, not easily, but, you know, would not be a shock to win a national title. The best player in the country on the best team in the country, and a team that doesn't always, you know, never won it. It's a great story. There's no hiding this. So the longer you go, it becomes the deal. And I just one more point, like with all those gunshots fired out in a crowded bar area of a school, you know, we had an emotional situation last night at Michigan State 1 week after innocent kids were shot there, and it's a different type of school shooting. But as terrible as this tragedy was, it could have been more widespread. And you just have somebody who was admitted to the police. He was drunk and doesn't remember everything, just firing bullets around the strip. Everybody involved here is very lucky that the tragedy was limited to what it was. And I'm not trying to take anything from that, but it could have been more widespread. And so this is just a very, very serious situation. And I hope that it's viewed that way. And I'm really looking for more answers in the next few hours.
Dan, thank you. As always, a very thoughtful, sobering comment, not reactionary, not, hey, look at me, put the camera on me. Thank you, Dan Wetzel, one of the best in the country. And he's right. When you think about how bad this was, and listen, nobody needs to explain. We all know what we're talking about here. If these shots had started going sideways and it escalated, it could have been a mass event. It's already pretty terrible, to say the least. Let's take a break. More to come. Your reaction to this. Plenty of guests, as I mentioned. We will head to Columbia, South Carolina, where Alabama is right now, taking on South Carolina 9 o'clock tonight. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And some news. Patrick Toney, who was the Gators' co-defensive coordinator, looks to be heading to the NFL, to Arizona. Billy Napier now targeting Austin Armstrong. Armstrong has just been in Tuscaloosa a couple of weeks now. Highly regarded coach, came from Southern Miss. Many thought it was one of Nick Saban's best hires. And he may be gone, according to various reports, expected to be named the D.C. So suddenly that all-star staff of Nick Saban has taken a hit. Kevin Steele, clearly the second choice behind Jeremy Pruitt, who couldn't clear waivers. And now Armstrong gone. So the A&M-Texas rivalry is set to resume. Where will the games be? Most presume they'll be on campus, but where does it begin? We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. Sam Kahn will join us from The Athletic. Len Elmore will join us in a few minutes. Coley Harvey from Columbia, South Carolina. And Horace King, who helped to break the color barrier at Georgia about 52 years ago. We'll take your phone calls now at 855-242-7285. Darren starts it off. Good afternoon, Darren.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for taking the call. Darren Walker with Florence, Alabama. I've spoke to you before. Just wanted to ask you a couple of questions, but leave a comment as well. I mean, just seems like, Paul, Alabama can't get out of the headlight, can they? Just can't get off the page. I can't believe the travesty that happened, obviously, with the basketball team and the very unfortunate things that transpired 5-6 weeks ago. But, you know, it's just weird how this has all come out now. It just seems like every time Alabama's doing anything good, something always comes out. And hey, if it needs to come out, it needs to come out. I'm not disagreeing with any of that. I just kind of wanted your opinion, Paul, on, like, you know, somebody was murdered there. How does it take 5-6 weeks for something as basic as this information that's only shedded light come out today?
Darren, I agree with you. Let's assume a couple of things. Well, we don't have to assume anything. Nate Oates said yesterday the school's been aware of this from the beginning. I'm wondering how this was contained, because obviously the police knew. Other people knew. There were rumors, but you really do have to wonder. And I agree with you. And people were asking, why did it come out yesterday? It came out yesterday because there was a preliminary hearing where you lay out your case. I mean, one thing prosecutors do, they don't lay out much of their case. They just lay out a sliver of the case just to make sure that it moves on and then goes to the grand jury. So there is a lot about this we don't know. I think the rush to judgment on Brandon Miller, you know, people are making all these accusations that he should have been hauled into. Listen, the prosecutors are not done. I don't have any earthly idea what they know, but they have obviously talked to him thoroughly and have gotten all they need from him for the time being. But yeah, I mean, he's a major player in all this. Once it goes to trial, I think you can count on that. And the concern you have to have is I don't know how much they're thinking about it, but I mean, you just can't charge somebody. I mean, you talk about it's a hard call to make. You could make it, by the way. It wouldn't be impossible to charge him, but it would still be a very difficult case to prove, and then the damage you may do. I think his biggest problems, quite frankly, are going to be civil issues because he's going to when the draft comes in June, I mean, he's going to be clocking in at tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, and he's going to be a big target in terms of civil liability. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. John is in Louisville. Hey, John.
Hey, good afternoon, and great interview. Excellent questions and even better answers from Dan. I was really, really impressed. I mean, Paul, who knew that a simple bail hearing would go nuclear? I mean, it's just incredible. The calls yesterday started pretty mild. You had some measured responses from your consigliere, Augie, and from your in-house counsel, William. And then it just seemed it got off the rails with the finger-pointing and sermonizing. I mean, people asking about color of skin, gun skill people, bring back the draft.
Yeah.
Young people make dumb mistakes.
I was worried that I had not gone down to the Selective Service Board.
I know. I felt the same way. I saw the look in your face like, damn, did I register
them? I remember when I had to do that. And I mean, the draft had already ended, but you still had to register. I don't remember the circumstances, but you had to be on file.
Oh, I do.
And I had bad memories coming back when that guy demanded that we bring the draft back.
Yeah, I went in with my twin brother, so we both got the same number. I mean, he ended up being a Marine Corps aviator, but we were a little nervous when we went in for number. But all the dumb questions and comments and. The best part of it, Paul, was I think you set a new program record for that comment, what's your point?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't like to be that way, but, there comes a point when you have to make one.
Yeah, yeah. The court will, it'll all come out in the court hearing. I'm not going to get into that, but I am totally gobsmacked, that's your word, with the coach down there. Comments.
And let me say this about Nate Oates. I like him a lot. He always has struck me as a smart guy, a thoughtful guy. And, he's very understated. I mean, he was just here a week ago, as you remember, John.
Right.
And
good interview.
And he, I don't know what he was thinking. But I do think it was interesting that 7 hours after he said that, the university redid his statement. And I can only imagine the amount of legal counsel that went into preparing his statement.
What you can redo are the optics of that news conference radio show where he's sunk in a seat looking down at his fingers and crossing his arms.
John, I'm not a crisis manager, although I've had people, ask me, say, why don't you probably ought to go into that business. You might do better than what you're doing. But I know one thing about crisis management, John, and I think you would agree with me. If you make a statement where you're looking into a camera, and you want to undo that, the only way you can do that is to go back on camera. You can't just throw something on Twitter. It doesn't have the same bite. Get in front of a camera. And then that's the only thing that the media can use. Right now, they're still, I was watching ESPN 2 hours ago. They're still using his statement. They're using his press conference from yesterday. Then they're papering it with his mea culpa.
Oh, his body language is horrible. And yeah. I'll tell you what really gobsmacked me is that he initiated the call with Ray Lewis, and I'm not here to judge Ray Lewis, but let's be honest.
Well,
Ray Lewis bought the murder weapon.
Yeah.
He bought the murder weapon. He got rid of his blood-soaked clothes.
Yeah.
He was convicted of obstruction of justice, and he was sued and had to settle for wrongful deaths. That's the person you call?
Well, somebody. I was about to make a tasteless joke, so, and I'm going to refrain from it, but you can probably figure out what I was going to say.
Yep. But, I mean, why even bring that up, let alone calling them? I mean, that's just the optics.
I think sometimes, I mean, the thing about Nate Oates to me, he does seem to be, he's a basketball coach. It's like he's living in a silo to be that tone deaf. Anyway, we must go to a break. We have a lot to do, including your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are back, and we appreciate all of you being here. Opinions continue to come in on the situation with Brandon Miller. And that's what we're here for. We are trying to get as many responses, as many voices that are heard as humanly possible. I just saw something that I had not seen. Most people in the bubble of college athletics have watched this, and most have great respect for Nate Oates. I just saw Dick Vitale tweet the following, and this came out, let's see, at 3:11 p.m. today. Dick Vitale: I was shocked in all capitalization. I was shocked by the comments of Nate Oates yesterday, but I am doubly shocked, capitalized, that superstar Brandon Miller is scheduled to play tonight. Isn't providing a gun to a teammate that was used in a murder a serious offense? Dick Vitale chiming in on the Alabama basketball situation. Mitch is in Ohio. Hello, Mitch.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
I was going to, I'm not comparing situations, but the New Mexico State situation compared, well, I guess I am comparing to the Alabama situation. They canceled the season and fired their coach. And Alabama, I don't know, because of prestige or rankings, probably won't do that. What do you think?
Well, first of all, there would have to be some justification to cancel the season and fire the coach. I'm not sure I'm aware of any justification for that. Bad decisions perhaps have been made. I don't think anyone's disputing that. Poor judgment perhaps has been made. But that's a far cry from canceling your season and firing a coach you just gave a contract extension to 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, but they canceled the season because of hazing, Paul.
I mean, I do remember the story, but again,
and fired the coach.
You'd have to explain to me, Mitch, what cause the university would have to employ to fire the coach and cancel the season. Can you give me one?
Not really. I guess.
I didn't think so. Well, yeah. If you're going to cancel a season and fire the coach, have one reason, okay? You might want to have more than one, but thanks, Mitch. Appreciate it. Maybe a half a
Hey,
reason.
Brother. How you doing, Mr. Paul Feinbaum?
Hey there.
I want you to talk to my basketball team. I can get something off my chest, if that's okay with you. What happened with the basketball coach at Alabama? I'm sorry. This might have been Alabama's fans, but he might as well be not Art Briles. That apology, so-called apology, was vain.
Nate Oates hasn't done. I mean, Nate Oates has used very possibly. We know he's used poor judgment. He's already admitted that. He may have used worse judgment to keep. But don't compare him to Art Briles, who looked the other way while sexual assault was going on at his campus. I mean, at some point we have to use some common sense here. Okay. Don in the Big Easy on Ash Wednesday. Hello, Don.
Hey, how are you, Paul?
We're doing well. Thank you.
I just wanted to say that all these facts are coming out. The guy provided the gun to the gentleman who killed the person. And when are we going to start holding people responsible? If we know that he did this, at the very least, he should be benched. There is an investigation going on, and we keep rewarding these athletes, despite the fact that he's not found guilty yet. We know that he brought the guy the gun, okay? Now we know that the coach and maybe possibly administration knew this as well.
Hold on, the coach admitted yesterday they were aware of it.
Right. So, to me, that's if they're aware of that, and the guy is scheduled to play, it just when are we going to put human life?
Well, first of all, he's played at least 10 games since the incident happened.
Right. So that's a huge mistake, and that's a slap in the face to the person who got killed. To me, at some point, human life has to be taken above winning. It's just sports. A human life is worth
Let me ask you this question. I mean, first of all, two people are in jail right now with capital murder charges against them. So this is nobody walked away from this without paying a penalty, including a former Alabama basketball player who was kicked off the team afterwards.
Right.
In terms of Brandon Miller, which is the person we are talking about here, mm-hmm. In your mind, what and why should he be kicked off the team?
Well, I'm not saying he should be kicked off the team.
What are you saying?
I want him to be benched.
You want him to be benched, and the reason why he should be benched is what?
Because he provided that weapon to that guy who killed somebody.
Okay. That's not exactly what happened, though. I mean, according to what the police detective said yesterday, Brandon Miller received a text from his friend to bring his gun. I'm not trying to be naive here, okay? I can believe whatever I want to believe, and it's hard for me to believe that he didn't know what was going down, but there's a difference. But we don't know that.
Okay, I just.
My guess is Nate Oates asked him. And by the way, Nate Oates should not be doing the asking. The university should be handling.
No, I agree.
A conversation like this. And that's why I asked earlier, where is the athletic director at Alabama who makes $2.5 million a year? Where is he in all this? And can he explain exactly what happened from the beginning? Because it's really Nate Oates is a basketball coach. We don't know what I'm more interested in what the administration and the involvement of the administration from the athletic director to other people in that athletic department to the president of the university. What role did they have? How aware are they? Because also don't forget, in the midst of all this, the university was approving a multi-million dollar contract extension for Nate Oates. Is that a mitigating factor? All of these things are important questions. We'll try to get to the bottom of them and more when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Irvin is up next as we continue. Hello, Irvin.
How you doing, Paul?
We are doing great, Irvin. Thank you.
Good. The question was asked by you to that young lady that just hung up. Where is the university system in all of this? Because that coach on yesterday, when he made his statement, he looked like he was scared as all get out. So the question is, where is the Alabama, the university, the athletic director, what part is he playing in all of this?
Well, I would think he would play a big role. I mean, he's ultimately in charge of everything that goes on in that athletic department. He hired Nate Oates, and by all accounts, it was a fantastic hire. So he has to be involved. I mean, when you have a problem like this on a campus, the first person you call is your boss. You say, I just want to make you aware we have a situation. And then the process goes into effect, and the university gets involved and has to make decisions because coaches are too close to it. I mean, you understand that. The coach is emotional. He recruited the player.
Yes, sir.
Issues like this always should come down to the university, not the head coach.
I understand, Paul, and I appreciate you. Good show, and this is not going away because it's the University of Alabama. Thank you very much.
Well, I agree with you, and to me, it's a much bigger issue. I think the mitigating factor here that you alluded to is Greg Byrne was trying to keep Nate Oates at Alabama. He was in the process of getting him a new contract. So how do you get somebody a new contract? You go to the president of the university, and then the president goes to the board of trustees. All this is happening contemporaneously to this incident. Now, is it a factor? I have no idea. I haven't spoken to anybody other than Nate Oates the other day about his next game against Tennessee. Let's continue with Chuck in Lansing, Michigan. Hello, Chuck.
Hi, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
My concern is this. We've had your employer, one of your employers, ESPN, covered the Michigan State shootings that did not involve student athletes in the sports room ad nauseum. We heard about it every day, all the basketball games, it could cancel sports, all of that happened, and it had nothing to do with athletics. Yet ESPN felt compelled to talk about the crisis, and it is a crisis. Here in Alabama, student athletes were involved. And I can't imagine that in this climate, Nate Oates, the athletic director, the president of the school, a big fan like you are of Alabama, isn't incensed by this silly behavior, reckless behavior on the part of student athletes. This player, Brandon Miller, continued to play and continued to get paid to play while he was at Alabama, even with this.
Yeah, and well, by the way, Chuck, let's not forget one thing. The guy who's currently in jail right now, one of them, he was on that team the weekend that...
You're right.
I mean, everyone acts like
he had nothing... When he makes a comment, how do you explain to me
Nate Oates has three players that started the season that are tied to this in some way, shape, or fashion, meaning...
Only the two starters, however, somehow have been able to avoid any complicit. When he says the heat's in the hat, there's one right in the head, and everybody knows what that means. I can't imagine. I mean, there's no explanation for that, and it's bad judgment. But student athletes get set down, put off the team for much less grievance grievous behavior. I'm really surprised that, I mean, and you said it. I mean, I hope the only thing that you can do, and you said something there, civil liability. I hope this young lady's family, her son, I hope that...
Chuck, thanks. We're up against the break.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.